A wedding, an affair, a death, and lots of coughing. Hey, After Buzzers, we're talking episodes 1 and 2 of Netflix's new show, The Crown. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
So this is the this
your
is,
special
this was the
request.
Choice. This okay. So God Save the Queen.
Well, it's the British national anthem, which you know we know as. Our country tis of thee.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey guys, what's up?
We did the remix. That's the American thing to do. We were like, take that.
Put our own spin on it.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's Angela Struck here. I am your host, and we are talking about the new show on Netflix, The Crown, which is so exciting. Amazing. We are excited to start this show off, but first let my amazing co-hosts introduce themselves.
Well, hello everyone. I'm Tehran, Prince Royal of the Two Doors and the Three Doors. Please find me at I am Tehran. I have the worst British accent, by the way.
Yes,
I just can't even try.
That's not so good, Tehran. I think mine might be a slightly
yours is,
better.
Yours is, but my Scottish one is Arr.
Oh.
We're doing something.
Oh, that's good.
And I am Tehran on across all social media, IG, TW, FB, whatever acronym you can find, at I am Tehran.
Hey everybody, my name is Sahive, and you can find me on social media at Say Hi Sahive. That's T-S-A-H-A-I.
Silent T, because she's more British than the rest of
us. Ooh, right. I like that. And you can find me on social media at TheAngelaStruck on Twitter and AngelaStruck on Instagram and Snapchat. Yeah, you're going to hear a lot of butchered British accents, I feel like,
hopefully
on this after show.
Towards the end of the
season. We have to. I was actually excited that on the show there were American actors who pulled off British accents.
John Lithgow.
Exactly.
Being one. I know.
Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
I don't know actors' names, but I know the characters and the historic reference within the show.
All right. Perfect. So let's start us off. It is 1947, which 2 years after World War II has ended. Right. The British people need help. They need strong leaders.
Right.
So we are in the situation where King George VI, who we kind of know, for Americans that probably don't know British history as much, if you saw the King's speech.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Exactly. The stutter, the king that, you know, kind of had to build up his strength to lead the people after World War II. So what are your initial impressions on the show? What are your thoughts?
Well, when it comes to King George VI, real quick, right? So we see that in the beginning, Winston Churchill is very revered in the British Empire, right? So he walks in, everyone, it's like they cheer,
freaking
they worship
out, the
him.
Crowds.
And he makes a comment about King George VI. He makes a comment that he's the king that lost India, who gave up India, because that's the reference of the time. We're looking at 1947.
Yes.
In November, that's the wedding. That's where the show starts.
Right.
A month before that, or 2 months before that, in August, in India gains independence, the original independence, that's a dominion from England.
From the Commonwealth.
From UK,
Okay.
So it's like a thing. The historical reference in the show, I thought, was way more accurate than I was going to give it credit for.
Agree.
Because when you watch these kind of soap opera dramas of historical shows, they're never historically accurate because there's not enough drama in the real history.
Yeah.
But in this one, there's just so much drama. You're like, whoa.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. At first, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be really kind of built up. But I actually felt it seemed very true to, you know, what actually took place. What was your...
Well, when you start a show with blood and someone coughing into a toilet, you know it can only go up from there.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
That was pretty sobering.
Yeah, that was a bit gory. I mean, I knew about the stutter, but I didn't know
you thought that
cough.
Was gory?
That
don't watch Walking Dead, I'll tell you that right now. Stick to The Crown.
I do not watch The Walking Dead, but, I mean, episode one was this wedding, so it was all about the wedding. And how that changed Elizabeth's life and the family's life as a whole. So it started off slow.
Yes.
I was a little bored. I was like, okay, where is this going? But it definitely got better.
Totally agree with you. It definitely kind of started slow. And I was kind of like, are we going to watch this guy ill for, you know, a bunch of episodes?
Exactly.
But then we started to see the wedding. So what are your thoughts about the wedding? I think they were trying to say that Queen Elizabeth... you know, she's marrying Prince Philip of the Duke of Edinburgh.
Right.
He's being, you know, made into a duke in the very beginning.
He's actually giving up his Greek kingdom. Yeah, and his Greek citizenship.
Corfu. He's from Corfu.
He's giving up a lot in order to become the prince.
Yeah. It seemed like such a true love story. Like, they actually really love each other. And it seemed like the families were judging, like, oh, look at her, his mother, who's the nun. You know, she. It kind of felt like this wouldn't be our choice if we were arranging this partnership. But they clearly had this connection. They were giggling together. They, you know,
They share this real passionate, like, he kind of alphas her and, like, gets this kiss, this sneaks a kiss, which is very unroyal in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting watching their dynamic, because I would have never known. Like, you're saying stuff like, as in, we know the history. Yeah, we don't know this.
Yeah.
Right. I grew up in American public school systems. I didn't know ish, right? So I'm, like, looking at all this stuff as if it's brand new.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, it can't be real. And a lot of it's actually coming off real. And I didn't realize that they had... First of all, I didn't know that Philip was still alive, which is crazy. Like, they never talk about this guy. Like, no one ever brings him up.
He's so far in the back, we never see him. Yeah. That's why we only see the queen.
That is so funny that you say that. Exactly. Because I was like, we only know Queen Elizabeth.
This poor 95-year-old who's like, I'm actually worth something, too.
I know.
We never talk about him, but I didn't know.
But that's true to what we're seeing in this character, wouldn't you say?
Exactly, because he's kind of a behind-the-scenes, kind of very a humble person.
Yeah. Not humble. I don't think he's humble. I think he just learned to play his position after a while. After years of being pushed in the back, we see in the episodes that, you know, when she becomes queen, he has to understand, this is the role that you have to play. You have to be behind me. And that's what I really love.
Possibly.
In the dynamic.
Because in the first part, when they're doing their vows, she does say the words to cherish and obey, which became a contention. Winston Churchill says, Winston Churchill's wife is like, obey. She's like shocked.
Yeah.
And Winston's like, she actually agreed to that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, but I just didn't know that they had a love together. And I disagree with both of you when you guys are saying it started off slow and that you didn't like that. I actually really like that it started off slow, because what I saw was the historical dynamic within the characters. So I saw that there was like a bit of a power struggle.
Yeah.
I saw a King George who was clearly once a great man losing it. I see a lot of these things that I might not have seen if they had built up too quickly.
Yeah.
They kind of eased
it. Was organic. It slowly built, and it felt as it would have been. It didn't feel like they were rushing it or forced.
I think that's because we're used to seeing Elizabeth as an old lady.
Mm-hmm.
Here we're starting from the point in which this new, basically, career starts for her. So they're giving us an inside view into how everything happened, and so they wanted to take their time, but it just started off a little slow. But when you were speaking about their love and the love between Elizabeth and Philip, the marriage wasn't agreed upon by everyone, even because I was reading that he came from like a difficult background. He didn't exactly have like the perfect upbringing. I mean, his mama arrived in a nun's costume and she just came out the crazy house.
Yeah.
So that's not
And he also has three sisters who are married to allegedly prominent Nazi members.
We all have to, break this one down. A nun isn't supposed to be having sex, but she has all these kids.
She became a nun afterwards,
but it was a little...
Or maybe she was making a fashion statement, and she just wanted say, this is me, this is who I am.
Let's not talk about the crown prince's mother, please, because I would like to go to England at some point in my life. I still think the powers that be, for all intents and purposes, we're looking at an inside view of the Illuminati. Let's be honest. England is still responsible. The UK is responsible for like a third of the planet still.
Okay,
still the queen. Queen Elizabeth is still the queen of Canada all the way to Jamaica. That is a true story.
True.
Australia, everywhere. She's still their queen.
They still
and sovereign.
Well, but we're also getting an inside view into a family. That's what I liked about the show.
Yeah.
We got to see what goes on inside this family and their flaws, and it made them more human
exactly.
as opposed to the people that we see on, like, you know, when there are birthdays or large events. I'm used to seeing the queen as an old lady. I couldn't even imagine her as a young woman.
In fact, you didn't actually see a lot of the lavish, I mean, of course, with the wedding and some of the scenes, but It was very human, it was very personal, and it felt like a family. I like that. So you guys, there one thing I noticed, when they were giving their vows, she was very...
nervous.
It was hard for her to get through those.
Yeah.
What do you think that was about? I think
it was because,
that moment.
First of all, I think she requested to say the word obey to Philip so he could know that, yes, I eventually will be the queen, but I'm going to humble myself.
Actually, she doesn't know
you.
At that point she's going to be the queen. So this is historical.
But she King Edward is supposed to be the queen.
No. King Edward is young. No one knew that he was going to abdicate. That was not in the plan. In fact, Queen Elizabeth
is meant
to never become queen. She would always remain a princess.
There's
a possibility that's like Harry. Harry lives a life where he's technically possibly going to become king, but as we know, it's going to
be. You're saying it wasn't in his or her train of thought.
Exactly.
She wasn't thinking that.
Historically,
I disagree because I think eventually you saw that it became more and more. It came to the forefront of her mind more, especially as her father became more and more ill. And even when later on we'll discuss when they went to Kenya and she was trying to discuss with her husband Philip, you know, what their plans were. You could tell that she was kind of on. I felt she was kind of on the fence.
Okay, so I guess we have some disagreement there, but I guess the point we were thinking that was hard for her to get through is the obey line, because maybe that would be controversial to some people, or is that what we're thinking?
I actually thought that she was just nervous. As a bride.
Yeah,
like, it's not easy to basically become someone's wife. Like she
and
even
in front
says,
of the whole country.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot going on.
World,
and she
really.
Says, she even says like to him, jokingly, of course, but you have 24 hours to rethink it, because she knows what he's given up to be
mm-hmm.
there. He's given up a lot in a way just to be fulfill her destiny.
That's very true.
And so it's not easy. I mean, brides falter at the altar all the time.
Yeah.
What I loved seeing is that when she was nervous, he was able to make her laugh in that moment. And
yes.
that's where you saw the human side of their relationship,
yes.
where he understands her like no other. I think because he came from a difficult background, he is like the guy that's rough around the edges, and she's like the prissy, prim girl. So it's like opposites attract, and that's why they work.
Interesting. Okay, so then we get to the part where King George the VI, he's really starting to deteriorate, and he goes into surgery. And he comes out, they pull out a tumor the size of our heads. And then they're kind of like, oh, he's fine. He's going to make a full recovery in the news and everything. And everybody's buying the story because they think the British needed something to believe in. And because the king, if he even thought in the back of his mind that he was dying, would not be able to lead. What was your impression of that operation scene? It seems so antiquated, and like be doing it in that room. And
I love the fact that they were doing it in that room. I thought it was like the ultimate private surgery. Like you got surgery in your house. You don't even have to leave. No ambulance, no nothing, like right there. you know, the wheelchair is just taking you down this two doors down to your room. I love that. Also, I thought the room was beautiful, and that's one of the things
I thought that was
also
a very cool way of shooting it with the dark, the lighting and everything. I thought looked really nice.
But when that lung came out with the tumors in it and it was black, and then you see Philip later on.
That's my question. What do you think Philip was walking in there for? Because I almost thought for a moment, I was like, is this like, does Philip want the throne? Like, is he wanting him to die so that he could make, you know, I was like wondering.
I think
Philip could never ascend to the throne.
Yeah.
He's not. See, Philip is the grandchild of Queen Victoria, so he has some rights, but at the same time, he's not anywhere near the ascension line.
But I mean, what would he maybe be like, oh, if he dies, then we're kind of closer. I don't know. I was wondering what he was walking in there for.
It was like a tradition. See, I think a lot of things that we need to put in perspective is the historical fact that we're looking at surgery that's happening in 1947.
Right.
So even hospitals weren't the hospitals we think of today.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
So there are these crowded, sick places. People are still getting these plagues and this kind of. So he's getting a private surgery, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's just custom. I mean, this is his son-in-law coming in to check in on the father. Like, that's because a woman wouldn't be allowed really in.
I thought,
oh, that's true.
So
else? He wouldn't. She would not want to go see her father in that state.
Well, I don't know if she would specifically be allowed.
And maybe
this is a lot of culture.
That's a good
tradition.
Yeah.
This is rooted in that. This is, and it's the highest tradition that we have on the planet. It's the royal tradition.
Right.
These are things, and even as I want to also put in perspective, the whole reason Winston Churchill plays a part is because the king is no longer the leader of the government.
Yes, he's the prime minister, which is perfect. Thank you for bringing that up.
So
he's really the decision maker. The king is, you're saying, is the figurehead.
He's a figurehead, but
he just looks good.
Exactly. But we do have to understand that principles of economics and things, if, for example, teams won't list injured players on that injured list unless they absolutely have to, because they still want to put out there that their player is strong and healthy, and we can So of course they're not gonna be like, looks like George is a goner.
Right.
But that's, I think, not gonna happen.
Going back to Philip and why he was in that room at the time, you notice he went in kind of on the sly. And I think it's because it's the beginning where you see Philip and King George have a quiet relationship. You don't see them converse much, but I feel like Philip understands what's going on. Mm-hmm. Philip was in the military. He's able to assess situations. So I think he knew, you're not telling me everything. Mm. You just came into the room and
I want to see for myself.
Yeah, I'm going to do some research on my own to know what's really going on.
Right.
Philip had a rough childhood. He knows you got to look around and know what's going on.
Childhood really affected you. It really connected with you.
Wait a minute, you were in the, this naval officer. I'm thinking you're all prim and proper. You're handsome and you're blonde and good looking. I'm thinking you came from, I didn't know you came from the other side of the tracks.
We didn't even know you're still alive.
No, exactly. Yeah. So much we didn't know about Philip.
Philip is still alive today.
And married to the queen.
I was like, this marriage
is obviously falling apart because we've never seen it. And then I like, oh, they're still, they're, he's still
together.
Alive.
He's 95. He's like, he kicks it with her every day.
We are learning things here, guys. Yeah. Okay, so then we find out, the king goes, he meets with Winston. He's feeling really good about himself, but Winston is obviously kind of apprehensive. He realizes this is not, I don't know what he's thinking. He's delusional. He's still sick.
Right.
And then the King George speaks to the doctor. We find out it's malignant. He's only got a few months. So let's talk about Winston Churchill and kind of his role. He knows that he's going to have to be the strong, he says, she needs me. And mm-hmm. his wife says, who needs you? And he goes, her. He's speaking of England.
Her.
England.
Actually, Jane, her is the acronym for Elizabeth. Her. It's
Do you think it means her?
His Imperial
Majesty?
But sometimes
they talk about the country as her, too.
Possibly.
I don't know. Either one.
It was both.
They both need
Yeah, exactly.
Need Winston.
Because I think, Winston, first of all, John Lithgow as Winston Churchill is amazing.
I think he's doing a great job.
And second of all, that little dog, loving that little dog, because in comparison to his
how big he is, and
then he has this little teensy tiny
Winston
dog.
Winston Churchill did have a little dog.
Yeah. I know, but it was just great. You see these things in books. I can't remember seeing, actually researching what Winston Churchill really walked and talked like. So this is giving me kind of a slight idea of that.
Yeah.
But I think he is... One of the themes that I saw is that Elizabeth, she loses a father in King George, and she kind of gains a father in Winston Churchill.
Yeah. That's
and
a
she's
great
she's
point.
Losing like a huge the male figure in her life. Mm-hmm. So other people like Winston Churchill, and even I would think her sister, Queen Princess Margaret's love interest.
Yes, Peter.
I think he becomes a kind of a male figurehead, and that's why they end up keeping him in the family.
Yeah, I definitely think she's going to need a lot of guidance.
Exactly.
She didn't seem like she was super confident when asked to go do the Commonwealth tour.
Right, because she messed up that speech a little bit. Yeah. What did you guys think about that scene when she was giving the speech and greeting all the other tribal chiefs?
I thought it was a really interesting, let's get to that. Hold on one second, because that's in episode two. So I just want to say, no, you're fine. I just want to keep track of us here. Okay,
no,
so,
you've ruined it.
Yeah,
it's done.
Gosh, are you kidding me?
It's done. Comment below if you think Sahai. Say hi, Sahai. Just ruined the whole thing jumping ahead. Hashtag say bye.
There's so much going on. Wait, I'm going
to
lose
everything.
Okay, so, I think we're just about there. Yeah, so she goes on the tour. All right. So I thought that was an awesome scene, because if you listen to what she was saying, she was like a modern, vibrant city. And then there was an image of a woman that was like topless and like it just didn't seem like a modern, vibrant city.
Right.
And it felt like those words to me weren't her own, that somebody had written those for her.
Right.
And then her seeing that was her view was different.
Yeah.
And I think that it was kind of speaking to who she is as a person and who she's going to be as a leader. She immediately understood how to show respect to the other leaders. This is not a hat, Philip. This is a crown.
Right.
She was caring. And I think that it was already saying who she is and her ability to connect with people.
I agree, because when she met the tribal people. She showed them a lot of respect, whereas mm-hmm. Philip was kind of looking at them like a sideshow.
Right.
And he's like, where'd you steal these medals from? Mm. But Elizabeth from the get-go showed them respect. But also one of her, the advisors said to her, listen, like a lot of the other countries and the continent are, you know, fighting for their own freedom right now and their independence. We need to keep, you know, the locals with us. So do your best. And so I think that also spoke to that situation.
But
was
she just doing that, or was she actually speaking from her heart? Because I felt that she actually had a lot more empathy than, for example, Philip.
I think it was a little bit of both. She knew you got to keep, she was doing her job on behalf of her father, but I think it spoke to her nature because we saw in other scenes how
exactly
kind she was.
I felt like she was the kind, she comes off kind, and mm-hmm. I remember there are instances where even George is getting upset or something. There was actually in the very first scene or one of the first scenes where George King George is
getting
upset.
Dressed.
He gets upset. Yeah, he gets upset, and it's like, you're gonna get bothered by a commoner. And that's actually an interesting thing, because now we notice immediately there's a hierarchy, and it's like Queen Elizabeth doesn't really, that's what makes her a proper queen, is she doesn't prescribe to this hierarchy as much. She shows respect for everyone.
Right, and she wasn't even a queen then. She
at the time, exactly.
Yes, so then we see, I think my favorite scene thus far, which was the elephant when they're on the safari. I thought that was such a great microcosm for their relationship moving forward, that Philip was immediately willing to sacrifice himself to be sure that Elizabeth was safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was just so cool. We're talking about the part when the elephant was attacking. They were both out there with one other guide, and the guide was like, oh, you guys go. And he wanted to make sure that Elizabeth was with the guide, the professional, was good to go, and he would put himself at risk. And he handled it well.
Very much
so.
He backed that elephant up.
He really did. I think because at this point in their relationship, they were still newlyweds.
Yeah.
And prior to this Commonwealth tour, Philip was just decorating the house.
Yeah.
So when they got to Kenya, as they refer to it as, as well, this is why I'm wearing my tribal, you know, scarf here. This was his, but the elephant, when he was trying to defend his wife, it was the first time that we saw him kind of man up mm-hmm. for her, and I think she was kind of riled
she
up
was
and
into
turns
it.
On.
Yes.
I think, you know, the African heat got to them.
Well, I mean, it's also the show of chivalry and stuff.
Totally,
I mean,
there's, that too.
I've never, you know, it's interesting because when I saw that scene, I'm thinking to myself, I've never felt that way about a girl where I'm like, I can love a girl, but I've never loved a girl more than I've loved myself.
Oh,
and I felt like maybe Philip did.
No,
I trampled by. I would have been like, oh my God, we're getting trampled. And like maybe shoved her away. Like, I was just something, but it's just like, because like I from the beginning, I never realized that they actually had such a strong connection. Because to me, all these royal marriages and things seem like, even the crown itself, the concept of the crown, it's that it's a corporation. The crown is a corporation. It's a holding.
Yeah.
And it holds all these properties and deeds and lands and financial investments. And yet, this is a real marriage. Like, they're really together.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
interesting to me.
Because I thought she like loved him like at first sight, and she was really young when they first met. One thing that I read is that he's actually her third cousin.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's possible. That's
of course,
all the
royal
line.
That's
a
surprise.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, I knew that went on, but I didn't realize it was in this particular marriage as well.
Yeah, interesting.
Most of the
Most
of the royals, in fact, most of the European royals are all related.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's
yeah.
not
as
yeah. yeah, so that's
yeah.
not a thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
so
how you
then
keep the crown.
Basically, we see Winston Churchill back at the office, and he's got the new woman there working for him. He calls her up to the office. What did you guys think of that? Did you think that he was going to make a move on her?
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to make a move on
her.
I think he was testing her out. He was testing her out, but I loved when, because he was in the bath and he shuffled and the water came splashing on her. I think it was like her initiation / baptism into the Winston Churchill.
Ooh, baptism. Look at you. That's good.
You know, it's all about the church. And,
No, that's very a good symbolism there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like it was her hazing process.
Exactly.
Everybody, you know, he was like, what is everyone saying about me back downstairs? I loved his line, though, it takes a monster to beat Hitler.
Exactly.
I loved that.
Plus, this was his, like, second time around? So he knew all the other women. He was like, I'm done with you. I've already seen everything here. But this new girl, who are you? You're
Who's
cute,
this?
You're young, you're fresh.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes powerful men need like visual stimulation and to inspire them and maybe to keep them going. And I think that's what she was.
I completely agree with that statement.
No. Hello, that's what we are.
But you haven't been so inspired that you're willing to give your life over.
No, I'm not getting trampled for an elephant. I would have made a move on the girl. Like, I'm just not. And that's probably why I don't have the crown. That's basically what it comes down to.
You're going to get there. You're going to one day meet that person that's just going to sweep you off your feet, and you'll be like, "Car, hit me, not her."
Oprah. There you go. I want Oprah. She's a billionaire. Like, that's the closest to the queen that I'm going to ever get.
Okay, so then we go and we see the king. He's just trying to, it felt to me like he's just wanting to enjoy his last days. He's hunting. He is singing at the piano.
This is the most human we've seen him, actually. It's the most just normal that he is.
And he was just very lax and that was very sweet.
I really enjoyed that scene where he was singing with his daughter.
Yeah.
In that scene where he was singing with Princess Margaret, I loved her dress as she played by the piano.
But how gorgeous was that?
It was beautiful. But then I was like, Margaret, you're showing a lot of cleavage.
I know.
And I think that's the sign of her personality that we'll continue to see
later.
Yes,
that's interesting.
On.
Well, she's got Peter there. We know that Peter is there, so she wants to look good.
She's showing off for Peter, and I thought that. Yeah. And that's actually very interesting that you, because it does foreshadow the difference between Elizabeth and Margaret.
Yes.
That Margaret gets to be more callous and laissez-faire the same way that we see the dynamic between Charles and Harry. I feel like it's the same, like they're brothers, but Harry gets to play around and he gets to go out with Meghan Markle and do all these things. Yeah. And Charles always has to be on point because he's the ascension to
so
throne.
True. And thank you everybody who's writing in the live chat. We are reading this and it's so great to have you involved. And a lot of people are bringing up Harry and William. So,
William. Yeah. Charles the dad. Charles is the dad.
So then, dun, 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 we see the king die. And, you know, I kind of knew that that was going to happen. I actually didn't think it was going to happen so fast.
Right.
I looked on IMDb and he's in 7 episodes. So maybe we see flashbacks. Okay. I don't know. I think we're going to see
some more. You cheated a little. Well, I mean, I knew that he dies and she's not aware of it.
Right.
Which is actually like, I don't know, as a child. Because, okay, so at the end we see him being the most.
Yeah, everyone's saying it's sad that it took so
it's
long.
It's the most human we see him, right?
Yeah.
So we see this human side of King George that isn't really shown. And then all of a sudden he's the most human. He's the sweet. He's like singing with his daughter. And that father-daughter bond is one of the most magical bonds in the universe. And then, as a child, I wouldn't even know what to do or imagine if something happened and my father died and I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah.
And the way she finds out.
Yeah.
And that's why I love with how Winston tried to prevent her from finding out in the press.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I was really nervous. I didn't know how it was going to play out. And that whole scene, really, I loved the way they shot that because I was nervous. Also in that scene when she, back in Kenya, when they were driving somewhere and the car overheated, we learned that Elizabeth was a mechanic in the war. I was like, who knew? She got skills. The death, her... I think that's where we also see that the press is starting to be on her.
Mm-hmm.
It was the beginning of the press being the vultures that they have become to the royal family.
Yeah, but do you know what I love, though? They were vultures, but they also showed some respect.
I like the press, so I just want to throw it out there for all the
royal
eagles.
Family.
To all the eagles that are the paparazzi, TMZ, and all the press. Thank you guys for your continued support. Continue with your vulture speech, please. No, please continue.
I thought that they did something that I don't know if we would see nowadays, which is they showed some respect and they kind of stayed out of the way a little bit. And like the guy got in front was like, no more pictures right now. Like, give him a minute.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was cool to see.
Especially compared to the Princess Diana situation.
Exactly, with how they're so in their face.
I feel like actually the press and paparazzi does show restraint and respect when it comes to people's privacy, as far as it concerns children and funerals and death. So I think that's the beginning of a culture that we still see today.
Yes.
I don't see them being the vultures that, you know, you guys said. I would never say that. You guys, please, thank you.
They always say that the British paparazzi is the worst, too. They're the most invasive. So
I think there's a love-hate relationship. I think now people know how to work with how to use the press to their advantage. And maybe sometimes they do get a bad rap, but I mean, I just keep thinking about the Diana situation. And I recently heard that she loved the press, but the way she died, you know,
horrific.
Yeah. It's so sad.
And but we do know this is the beginning of the in the UK, there's very strict laws on the media.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for example, in America, we can run things like the National Enquirer. They can just print rumors and it's
libel.
Fine. There's a much more strict libel and defamation and libel in the British press.
Right.
So they have to have proof in order to run something.
I see what you're
saying. So that's why they're a lot more invasive
about getting photos.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because if they do it without, and there's certain magazines in the UK that get sued overwhelmingly because they'll run a story without actual
proof. Interesting. Okay. Mm. That's a good point to know. I didn't realize
that. Yeah, it's slander and libel are a big thing in the UK. So their laws are actually way more strict, especially concerning media.
So then we got the title of the show, which was Winston telling them to put the message over, which was, say, Hyde Park Corner. And I guess that was the code for the king has died,
which
I thought was kind of interesting. But we see her. She's devastated.
Of course.
She decides to go back, of course, and be with her family and honor her father. And we see that plane ride back. She can't sleep.
Yeah.
They bring her clothes up onto the plane. And I think this was the most amazing part of the entire show, was the grandmother saying, not only are you grieving the death of your father, you're grieving your death.
Right.
Because now you're not the priority anymore. The crown is.
Right.
Which, wow, as she changes from
powerful
white to black. She's no more, you know, naive young girl. She has to step up to the plate. Reality has hit her and her life has changed forever.
I thought that was a nod to the movie Elizabeth, actually, where we saw a similar transformation in the Elizabeth character in that movie, who was also the queen, the virgin queen, like the almost the original Elizabeth, right?
Yeah.
So because her mother's name was also Elizabeth. But,
yes.
But I'm just saying, like, it's just very interesting watching that transformation. And like you said, it was metaphoric, and it was one of the most iconic images throughout the entire show.
It was fabulously done.
We see in that scene the change, Elizabeth making decisions already. She decided that she wasn't going to change her name like everybody else, that she was going to keep her name. I think that speaks to how she wanted to do things in a bit of a more modern way. Mm. Also, it wasn't her grandmother in that letter said that, you know, it's not only the death of you, but it's the death of your father. I mean, it's the death of your old personality,
right?
Because you have to become this new person. You have to become not a mother to your kids anymore, but a mother to this country now, which I loved.
It was unbelievable. So I'm excited to see what happens next. But before, let's just touch on these last few final details that are cliffhangers that I think are going to be into our predictions for next few episodes. Winston's wife comes and says, Antony's after your position.
Love her.
And Winston was like, no, I've, you know, made this guy who he is.
Right.
I actually don't know the history there of what happens, so I'm excited to see. So, I don't know if you guys know.
From what I understand, Winston, Antony, was like Winston's protege.
Yes.
Right.
So, you know, he came up under Winston. So the fact that he went to the king and tried to
undermine
him, you know, it was very scandalous. But I love the fact that Winston got that information from his wife.
Yes.
Because it shows the importance of wives who may have to stand behind their husbands.
But they're switched on.
Yeah, they're listening. They're getting details. And just like with the king, with his stutter and how his wife helped him
through
that, Winston's wife as well had to be the one. She kept her ears to the street, and then she told her man, and at first he was like, nah, you lying.
Yeah.
But then
this is a very empire way of explaining how this works out.
For those people who may need it to, you know, transfer it into modern terms, because it's the same thing is happening today. That, you know, a strong woman is always needed to stand with a man and actually be the one running things from behind.
But the nature of politics that we have, even in the world today, the modern world, comes from the British. Our understanding of politics and all the the reasons we think it's underhanded and things like this, because that aristocracy that we think of is actually a British aristocracy. That's who we think of. Mm. And the concepts of blue blood and all these things that mm-hmm. play where we feel like our politicians need to be this kind of person, right? Mm. And we saw this actually play out in the recent election where everyone's surprised because Hitler yeah. just had that pedigree.
Right.
So it's just interesting. I do actually know the history, you know, and I'll give you my prediction real quick. Okay. I think Elizabeth becomes queen. So I'm just saying, shocker, you know,
spoiler alert,
sorry. But the what you were touching on is when he like undermined Winston Churchill's authority.
Right.
Let's not forget all the underhanded things that Winston Churchill has done
yes.
to get to where yes. he is.
He's okay? no saint.
We get to see that as well.
Yeah.
And it's interesting yeah. if we do, because Winston Churchill is one of the most profound characters,
yes.
historic characters right. that we've ever
he
had.
He gets the job done no matter what it takes.
Sometimes it
yeah.
takes a lot.
Yeah.
And the job that he gets done is things like colonizing the free world. But whatever.
Wait, question I have, because I just see in our chat, Shava says they actually moved his lung, not a tumor. That makes more sense because yeah. it was black. But then what, from the smoke, but what, did
Which
you see
hates,
them wrap
Elizabeth
up?
Elizabeth hates smoking
that was
in the
lung.
Yes, yeah.
That
but
was the lung they wrapped
so
up.
They, but it looked like they threw it away. So did yeah, they throw away one
so
of the
black.
Lungs?
Yeah.
It was, so he then only had one lung.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because there was a scene
Thank you, Shava. Thank you for, I was like, that is
well,
the biggest tumor.
It's a cancerous lung. It's a cancerous lung.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. And then we see the relationship that is going to, I think, continue to grow between Margaret and Peter.
Ooh.
Ooh, the affair. Peter, the husband and father, right. which the guy mentioned numerous times to guilt trip him. Peter is offered the role of controller of the household. And the guy is basically being like, you wouldn't want this because you want to go home to your wife and children, right. don't you? And
yeah.
he's like, no. I want to stay here with my lover.
Exactly.
So what do you guys think of that? What do you think is going to happen?
Oh, sucky.
I think Peter just knew that the women in the whole household were going to need him more than ever. He also didn't want to leave his side piece.
Yeah.
But, you know, he loved that family. He was there with them more than he was with
That's
his
interesting.
Own wife and children.
You think that Margaret's the side? I feel like his wife and kids are the side piece
yeah.
and Margaret's the main chick.
I got the impression that he is head over heels for
yeah,
Margaret and
right.
will do whatever for her.
I mean,
it
wasn't even
too.
A question. I mean, if you ask the wife is going to say Margaret's the side piece, but you know.
Oh, side chicks you tend to do that.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what yeah. happens. But Peter, I really loved, I really liked him, and I think that relationship is going to continue to develop, and I want to see how scandalous it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Because like we saw his butt. And
it
I hope to
scandalous.
See more of Peter's body.
Yeah. Knowing the story of Margaret, it is a scandalous affair. So.
You know it all, I think. I think you,
he's our resident expert.
I don't know if we
here.
Should do predictions, because you're just going to tell us the
what really
whole...
happened.
I'm trying not to... I'm trying to, like, research, but not know
not
too
much.
I just...
Right.
I didn't research. I didn't research specifically for this.
You're
I just...
Genius.
Things that I know. It's And the thing is, it's interesting, because I didn't realize how historically accurate that this program was going to be, even to the point where King George the VI was known for reciting dirty limericks and they added that in
yeah,
to the show
about,
which was just
yeah.
like it's just really I mean these little pieces and clues and context are very invaluable to the historical
yeah.
accuracy of this show
yeah.
so while it's very entertaining
yeah.
and it's full of drama, it also sticks very much to the storyline that happened.
Yeah.
It's authentic.
It is
yeah.
extremely.
Yeah. Like, even as you said, her being the mechanic during the war speaks volumes about who she is.
Definitely.
I don't know a lot of women nowadays that would want to be a mechanic.
I don't know
war.
A lot of men that
I
know
mean,
how to change a tire
yeah.
in L.A.
So,
a lot of these guys walking with beards can't even change
yeah.
their own tires.
I mean,
you know who you are.
I'd be in trouble. So, anyway, let's get into some quick predictions. We've already spoken a little bit about it, but let's do a few.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
What do you guys think we're going to see in episodes 3 and 4?
Well, I think that the scandal plays out a little more.
With Margaret and Peter.
Because with Margaret and Peter, I think that becomes more of a center. And I also think that Edward's abdication becomes a part
Ooh,
of the play.
Yeah.
So we need to see how she becomes queen. So
right,
because
you're right.
Play.
She's not, they're
she's
calling
not
queen. Her Queen Elizabeth. But I wonder if they're going to kind of go into that.
Yeah,
more.
We have to show
yeah.
how she becomes queen, because Edward becomes king, and then King Edward abdicates his throne.
Because he has that romance with that
woman.
I can't think
Divorce
of her name.
Woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also he has what people think are alleged sympathizing ties to the Nazis, which is also a problem. So there's a lot that goes on there. Mm-hmm. So it's just very interesting. And I think that plays a bigger part.
I think what we're going to see is some issues between the sisters, between Elizabeth and Margaret. Because as Elizabeth, as her duties increase, she's going to have more responsibility and she's going to be more strict on her younger sister to, you know, be more prim and proper like she has to be because it's forced upon her now.
Yeah.
Also, I think we're going to see, you know, these newlyweds are now having to deal with this new job that his wife has.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to cause some issues within the marriage because Philip still didn't even get time to adjust to this new role. And he's still used to being the alpha male. And, you know, Elizabeth was willing to take a step back and have her husband be the head of the household until the death of her father.
And King George was supposedly going to be taking care of the children, like, a little bit while they were gone.
Right.
So, you know, I think there'll probably be a dilemma about who's going to stay home with the kids, who's going to be out running the country, the empire. I think personally, too, we're going to see a lot more of the Winston Churchill issue with Antony, which I'm excited about. I feel like that's going to, as you said, Winston is such a interesting person that to see what lengths he'll go to fight for his position of power should be interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. First recap, guys. Mm-hmm. I am your host, Angela Struck. You can find me on Twitter at the Angela Struck and on Instagram and Snapchat at Angela Struck. And where can everybody find you guys?
Well, you can find me at I am Teron. I'm the bathrobe heartthrob we're in here. I don't know. I'm just wearing a bathrobe. I feel like clutching my imaginary
pearls. You always wear a bathrobe, but now I know.
I'm comfortable. I'm always at home. I'm chilling. Here's the way. We're watching TV and making it happen for you. And I hope you follow back because I'm definitely going to follow you.
Yes.
And you.
Yes, you can find me at Say Hi Sahai. That's SayHiTsahai.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you guys next week, Tuesday, 10 p.m. Bye, guys. Episodes 3 and 4.
I'm not doing spirit fingers, guys. I'm
Wait,
not saying,
I love
but
it.
I'm not.
I'm doing the wave.
We should do the royal
wave.
Yeah,
the royal wave I'll do.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Yeah, have fun with that.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.